Calvinite fullness, stamp thine own image right on my heart tonight, Lord, and be a blessing. Fellas, we can get these lights up here. We'll start with just a couple things before we get into our lesson tonight. Now, someone sent me this in California. They're all protesting about the Bible being in a public place. So they say, keep God out of California. Okay. The place is burning up. Tens of thousands of acres, 100,000 acres. I feel awful about that. But I'd be careful about what you wish for, what you're holding signs for in this world. Keep God out. Are you kidding me? Bring him in. Yeah. Oh, now. Can you know the names of these kids? Oh, the Barkowskis. Here we go. Chloe. Over in Thessaloniki. Charlie. Danny. Timothy. And Madeline. Yeah, send me a new picture. I thought, well, I'm just going to show it on a Wednesday night. What a family serving the Lord. Amen. An offering to the Lord. Thank you, Charlie. Excellent. Excellent, Rachel. All right. Now, someone sent me this. I just had to put it up here. It's a miracle. It's a miracle of the Lord, this picture right here. Look at that. Wow. That's awesome. I just stare at it. And someone, one of our people that work at a flower company, they make flowers. I mean, grow them. And I tell you, that's amazing. Imagine working with that all day long. Wow. Pretty good. Now, in our lessons at this point, you see the lessons we've had. Tonight we're going to talk about reputation. The Bible talks a lot about it, and so we are going to tonight as well. Now, reputation, general opinion or judgment of the public about a person or thing. A widespread ascription of a characteristic or trait to a person or thing. What is your reputation? Amongst God, amongst men, amongst Christian men, I don't know. A memory verse for the next 2 weeks. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. You believe that? Some of us will sell a good name for not many riches, but love me favor than silver and gold. And I love this verse here. A good name is better than precious ointment in the day of death than the day of one's birth. Talking about a precious name, a good name being better than precious ointment. Now, Linda Jean, did you give me that piece of paper? Okay, I got one left. I'm going to give it to Brother Matt at chair. Brother Joe, everybody listen. Okay, these things have a way of getting off the tracks because people don't pay attention. So you got to pay attention. We're going to have a little family school contesto like we do on Sundays sometimes. And if you win, it's 25 bananas or dollars. Okay, you can talk as a family and get to get these answers. It's about people in the Bible who have a good reputation. Simple. Now, the winner gets $25. Now, I have singles here, and so there might be two winners, and you might have to share. Pardon me?
The winner is the one who gets them all right or
the most right. The most right. Any other questions? The person gets the most right. We'll do one at a time, and I'm just on your honor. So, every question. There's 14 in all, as you see on your sheet. They're all Bible characters, people, and you can just talk amongst each other for a minute, maybe. I don't take all night. I have to preach somewhat tonight. Right, Pastor? Okay, a good name. Who was Paul talking about when he said that there was no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state? New Testament. Who was Paul talking about? You can talk with each other. Make sure you get the right answer because you can't change it. Who is he talking about? There's no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. What? Okay, it's over. You're done. Pencils down. Answer is what? Timothy. Yeah. Uh-oh. No, wait a minute. Fellas. Oh, wow. It is Timothy, but my answers aren't coming through. I hope I know them all. All right. Two. It's easier standing here than it is there. But it's no pressure. No memory verses going on, right? In the book of Acts, who is called a just man and one that feareth God and of a good report among all the nation of the Jews? In the book of Acts, there was a man called a good man, a just man. Dun, 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 dun. That's it. Pencils down. You can't fill it in once I ask. Who is that man?
Cornelius.
Who? Cornelius. That's correct. Oh, don't worry. We have time. We have time. Okay. A good name, number three. Also in the book of Acts, it is said that this man was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. Careful. Everybody chatting with your fam. Chat with your fam. Get the right answer right. Sarah, get a lot of riding on this. $25. And she needs it for her Starbucks thing. Okay. Who would that be? Who said Barnabas? That's right, Johnny. Oh, Johnny. That was Barnabas. Okay. Oh, wow, man. Okay, number four. A good name. In the book of 1 Samuel, it is said that this man behaved himself more wisely than all the servants of Saul, so that his name was much set by, or set by me, the highly esteemed is my words, are my words. Much set by, or highly esteemed this man. Oh, anybody got a guess? 1 Samuel? Okay. Talking. Jessica, are we done? What's the name? David. That's correct. Okay. A good name. Also in 1 Samuel, it is said that this child grew on and was in favor both with the Lord and also with men. Talking. Gang. Who's that? Samuel. Okay. A good name. This Old Testament man was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him and the king thought to set him over the whole realm.
Joe Manchara.
Excellent. Who would that be?
Daniel.
Daniel. Oh. Well, there's still more to come. Seven. This Old Testament man's master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. Talking. Who is that?
Joseph.
This is Jeffrey Amster. Yeah, it is, preacher. I was thinking about you. Oh, that's funny, yo. Okay, good name. This Old Testament woman was known by all the cities a virtuous woman. Who would that be? Talking. Benny's writing. Okay. Sister Robinson, are you done? She's quitting. Okay. Who would that be? Ruth. It's a reputation of some really good people in the Bible, right? A good name. In the book of 3 John, this man has good report of all men and of the truth itself. Can you believe such a testimony? Such a reputation that this man had the good report of all men and the truth. Wow. Survey. So, wait a minute. You done, Benny? Okay. Who would that be? Who?
Demetrius.
Danny is on fire. Or I should say Maria's on fire. No, the ladies are on fire. Grace is burnable there. Okay. A good name. It's said of which of these churches that faith is spoken throughout the whole world. Which of these six churches said your faith is spoken out through the whole world? What a testimony. What a reputation. What's our church spoken of? Oh, they don't wear dresses over there. Oh, they don't wear pants over there. Oh, they believe in the hymns over there. Man, if that's it, we have lost the boat. Lost the game. Who would that be? What church? Anybody? Put your pens down. It's Romans. Romans. The Roman Church. Church at Rome. Oh, which of these, not the Roman Church, but the Church at Rome. It's a big difference. Okay? Which of these churches had this testimony? Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of a love by which ye have to all the saints, which of these six churches? What a testimony. Do we have a testimony of loving the brethren? Huh? Do we have a testimony that of being a faithful people? I hope so. I hope so. Well, who would that be? Anybody? Pardon me? Nope. Colossians. It's Colossians. Okay. 12. A good name. In the book of Acts, they chose these seven men who had an honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we appoint over this business. Imagine finding seven men. Pardon me? You don't have to name the seven. No, I'm not sure the seven names are given. But there's a seven what? These chosen to be deacons in the church. All right? Good name. Who is Paul speaking about when he said, hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints? Paul, Timothy, Titus, Alexander, Philemon, or James? I have to rough one. Paul was talking about hearing of the guy's love and faith. Do we have anybody like that? Henry Christian was a man of love and faith. You know that. I'm not sure I'm known like that. Pretty good. Who would that be? Anybody? You got pens down. Who would that be? Who? Philemon. That's correct. And lastly, good name. It is said of this New Testament woman that wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this that this woman hath done be told for a memorial of her. Whew. Okay, who would that be? Mary. Okay. Now, pardon me? Right, Mary. Mary. Yes, preacher, exactly. Okay. Did anybody get 14 right? Anybody get 13 right? We're in trouble. Anybody get 12 right? Raise your hand up. 12 correct answers. Anybody get 11 right? What have we been doing, Pastor? Anybody get, I said 11. Anybody get 10 correct? If you got 10 correct, stand up if you got 10 right. Stand up your family. Man, it's not a dollar to go for everybody around. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. Okay. They each get $1. Wait. Here is four for the parfaits. How many, Danny? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Man! Okay, we got two here, right? And we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 7, right? Doug's not here, no. What? Nice try. Spoken like a true missionary. Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And we'll give the remaining 5 to Linda. No, we'll give it to Vicky. Oh my. I didn't see you stand. Does anybody got dollars? Who's got dollar bills? Give me some dollars, fellas. Really? 1, 2. Here you go, Danny. Danny's got some change. 3, 4, 5, 6. I think there's 7, 8. We got $1 left. Thank you, my man. Appreciate that. Very good. Okay, then. Okay. Danny, you get some change back for your offering. See? Thank you, bro. Appreciate that. Well, listen, our topic tonight is this lady, Mary. Now, look at it. You can turn the lights on a second. What we don't want to do is fall asleep. Because, I know this story. I heard it 1,000 times. I've heard it 1,000 times, too. We're going to hear it again tonight. Because there's no one in the Bible with a better reputation than Mary. How do I know that? Because Jesus Christ himself said, wherever the gospel is preached in the world, the testimony or memorial of this woman will be spoken. It's not said of John or Mark or Luke or Peter or Titus or Timothy. It's said of Mary. Wherever the gospel is preached for the rest of the world, rest of time, this woman's testimony is going to be spoken of. Now, I just want to challenge you tonight a little bit. Okay, listen. Listen, I'm not saying this is a solid doctrine truth. I'm just saying what my opinion is right now, because really no one really knows. The Bible says that she took this ointment, spikenard, harvested normally in the Indies. Sold all over the world. Very expensive. Very costly stuff. And it was in this alabaster box. And people say, the Bible says she broke the box. Well, I always struggle with the breaking of the box. How can you break a glass box? It's marble. It's crystallite, gypsum, calcite. It's like, you see like that. Should you take a hammer or a knife and break the box without breaking the whole thing up? Would it not, look, would it not, if now we've all seen things like this. This is very similar to what she had. I'll show you a few more. But if you hit that with a hammer, how is that oil going to be poured out? Unless it's a miracle, I think it's impossible. You ever open a hard jar to open? You got to tap it. You got to heat it. You got to pry it. And what are you doing? You're breaking it open. My thinking is, it's only recorded in one of the Gospels that she broke the box. I'm thinking if she broke the box, I mean, smashed the box, it would be pretty notable. And I think that John and Mark and Matthew would have all said it. I think it's in Mark only. Interesting, isn't that? Okay, look at now. So here's what you have. You have a calcite box, a marble type of material. The ointment was so precious, so costly, that they would seal that container. They'd seal the container with wax or some other substance to where it was very difficult to open for the first time. So I'm thinking that she went in the room with this alabaster box and she got a knife or a screwdriver or something to pry that box open. She broke open the box.
Break it out.
Break it out. Yeah, break the stuff out, man. To me, I mean, it's no one's going to go to hell for not believing it or to heaven for believing it. But it's just very interesting to me that I've seen preachers demonstrate how she smashed the box. Well, you'd be pouring shards of marble down the neck of the Savior. Not to mention the stuff going on the floor. I don't know. I'm just thinking she broke it open. Oh, I really like that. Let's turn the lights. We got the lights. Okay, now listen. I'm going to tell you a story. Not much is given in the story. A few verses in three of the Gospels. But here's how I'm thinking it. And we'll look in the Scripture. Here's how I'm thinking it. There's this supper going on. It's Simon the leper. Now, Simon was a leper. No longer a leper. Probably Jesus healed him. Although it doesn't give a specific account of that name, that man. But we're assuming so. Lazarus, who had just been risen from the dead, is there. The disciples are there. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Peter's there probably, and Bartholomew and that. And they're sitting around a table, and they're eating a meal, meat and drink, bread, cheese, whatever, right? And Martha's running around. Listen, Martha sometimes gets a bad rap. She loved the Lord as much as anybody. She was serving the Lord to the best of her ability, running around trying to make sure everybody's fed. You got a dozen guys at a table. You're trying to feed them. Someone's got to feed them. Her problem was when she told the Lord, look at this Mary. What do I got to do? Everything by myself here? Sometimes Christians act like that. What am I, the only one's got to preach? What am I, the only one's going to preach on the corner? What am I, the only one's got to clean the place? What am I, the only one's got to do this or that? Anyway, Mary, something came over her heart. When she looked at this Savior, looked at this man of love, looked at this man of her hope and her joy, and her brother had been risen from the dead, and her heart was just, it got hot for him in a good way. And so she's saying, what can I do? What can I do for him? I doubt very much that she brought the alabaster box to the dinner. Maybe she did. I don't think so, my opinion. I'm thinking her heart spoke to her. She was overcome with it. And she's going to go get this box, this ointment. But why ointment? I'm thinking to myself, why an alabaster box? What would make that come in her mind? This is what I'm thinking. I'm thinking she had seen that someplace, and she really liked it. I'm thinking she'd seen it at the shop, seen it in the market, and she'd go by, and maybe she'd touch it, maybe she'd hold it, maybe she'd see, oh wow, turn on the side, 300 pence, I can't afford this thing. Oh, maybe someday I can get myself this alabaster box with this ointment. Oh, that'd be great, that'd be neat. This is what I'm thinking, why it's in her brain. Why else would it be? I don't know. Well, I think she goes home, and she goes to her house, and she pulls out of her pennies and her drawer and her shelf and her cupboard and her bowl and come up with 100 pence or so. And she picked up some jewelry that she had, and she picked up a little scarf or a shawl or a veil or something, and she's going to try to go trade with the merchant for the alabaster box with the ointment. You say, you know that's true? I say, do you know it's not? Right? I mean, something had to happen for her to get that box. So she goes, and she goes to the market, talks to this guy, and he goes, that's 300 pence. Look, I have 100 pence. I got this really nice jewelry. He says, I'll give you 100 pence. Or I'll give you 50 pence. She goes, I was thinking more of 100. Make it 75. I got this dress. I got this homemade shawl. No, you're short. 290 pence all you have. And man, she just looks at him so sad. And she says, man, I'm getting this for a very special friend. Can we square up for the 290? He goes, okay. I'll give you it for 290. So she gives him everything she had. Man, when she got that box, she was so excited. You know how excited you are when you give someone a gift they're really going to love? Something's really cost you something. Something you know this person's asked for before, but they don't even expect it. Her heart is pounding. She's got that box under her arm. And she walks into the house. And everyone's looking at her like, where you been, Mayor? We're working here. We're eating here. There's a lot to be done. Where you been? What's she got in her hand? Has anybody got a butter knife? I'm thinking, you take that butter knife and you prize that lid off that box. And she walks behind the Savior. Now, back then, they didn't sit up straight at the table like we sit up straight. They kind of lean back. So Jesus is leaning back, and everybody watches Mary go behind the Savior. And they go, what are, and all of a sudden, it's quiet in the room. Because when she cracked that box, that fragrance came wafting out of the box. And it filled the room. And it caught everyone's attention. She goes behind the Savior and starts taking that box and pouring it. About a pint would be a pound, roughly. And she takes that and she pours it over his head. What did Christ do? I think he closed his eyes. Oh man, that smells. Oh man, that sure smells good. Oh, that feels good. Enough to go all the way down his body, onto his feet. There's no contradiction in the Word of God. And she wiped his feet with her hair. Well, now, what this story is, it's a testimony of the changeableness, the variableness of man. You got John and Mark and Luke and Matthew and Peter and Lazarus, Judas and all. Just a little while ago, they were in a small Samaritan village, and the people in the village didn't want anything about Christ. So what did these disciples say? Call fire down from heaven and destroy this city! Right? And a little while later, they're getting on this lady who'd given Christ all she could, saying, what a way! They said this, what purpose is this? What a waste! Oh, man. You know what? She didn't even care. You know what we can learn from the Bible? We can learn from the Bible what the Bible doesn't say. We learn from the Bible for sure what it does say, but here's what it doesn't say. She didn't go and ask the Savior, what can I give you? Yeah. She didn't pray. She didn't pray. What should I give him? Jesus, do you think this would be a good idea if I... No, she didn't do it. You know what it teaches me? Sometimes your heart will tell you to do something for Christ, and you ought to get up and do it before it's too late. Too late meaning you have a conference with your mind, and you console with your brain, and your brain says, well, is that reasonable? Is that a waste? Maybe she waits until tomorrow. Maybe I should sleep on it. Maybe I should pray about it. No, she didn't do that. She got this thing in her heart, and she went right after it. You know what it doesn't say? She didn't ask permission from the disciples. You think, I mean, there's some pretty notable characters around that table. You know what she didn't do? She didn't do this. And Christians are real good at this. She didn't go to Matthew and say, hey, Matthew, I'm thinking about getting the Lord a pound of spikenard. You want in? Right? You want in? You want 25 pence. You figure if you get 25 pence, and you get 25 pence, and you get 25 pence, and you get 25 pence, that'll put us right to 300 pence, and I'll run right down the store right now and get it. No. Because you know what? God... Oh, if you can get this truth. God didn't tell Matthew to do that. God didn't tell John to do that. God didn't tell Lazarus. If anybody would do it, you think it would be Lazarus. No, it wasn't in his heart. It was in Mary's heart. So someone comes to you with a need of somebody else, and it's our inclination to go to somebody else and say, you know, so-and-so is short of some food. Maybe we should get together and buy him some food. Now, there's nothing necessarily wrong with that. But maybe God's told you. Maybe God's shown you their need. And maybe he wants you to take care of that. You know what she didn't do? The Bible says she poured it on him. Now, we maybe have saved a little bit. Maybe not the whole pound. Surely not the whole pound. She poured the whole thing out. Didn't save something for herself. And save a little for later. Maybe I can save a few drops for myself. No, she went, she sold what she had, she bought the pound of spikenard, and she came and she gave it to the Lord. The Lord couldn't refuse it, didn't refuse it. The Lord can't sell it. The Lord can't give it away. It's a total waste. What purpose? The disciples said. The Bible says some of the disciples, they murmured amongst themselves. Some spoke openly, and some didn't. Judas, of course, said, you know, girl, don't you see this bag of money I'm holding? That's for the poor. You could have given, sold that thing and given us the money, put it in this bag, and I, Judas, would give it to the poor. What a blessing. You know what she didn't do? Oh, the lessons we can learn, Joseph, if we'll just look and listen. Here's what we didn't do. Let's say this is the spikenard, right? This is the box. She starts pouring it. She reaches in her back pocket. Take a little movie of my giving to the Lord. You know what? You're not giving out of a pure heart like Mary did, because you're going to take yourself a selfie and you're going to post it on the Facebook or somebody just to show people all you've done for God. Oh, yeah, I'm a servant of the Lord. You see me here praying. You see me here giving. You see me here going. You see me here preaching. You hear me here playing. You see me here singing. You see me here doing all this stuff. Click, click, click. As Pastor Camilleri would say, that's right. I mean, seriously, she couldn't care less what anybody thought, whether they liked it or not. And she wasn't considering her mind. I don't know if it's my duty or not. Duty? Can I tell you something? It was not her duty. If our Christian life, Jamie, comes down to duty, we do duty by paying Caesar his taxes. That's duty. I'm going to give my 8%. I'm going to give my 10% in the box. If our Christianity comes down to what's expected of me, you know what happens sometimes? We wind ourselves so tight, we can't even move for God when we want to. True. It's true. No, it's not expected of you, Mary. No, it's not your duty, Mary. Do we serve the Lord? Do we serve our precious Lord by calculation? Oh, Sunday. Well, here's my... Look at it. We all have it in us, man. If we're in a tough situation and we hand out a track, you're thinking pretty good about ourselves. Huh? When we get that tithe statement at the end of the year, we look at that and you say, not bad. This woman, out of divine impulse of her heart, fully committed, fully consecrated to Jesus Christ, gave this precious ointment. The God's church has become stereotyped. And we become content on performing the routine. Accomplishing the formalism of our religious duties. Well, if it's Saturday, I'm going to go on the street. Oh, great. I'm glad. I'm blessing the Lord for that. But you know, you could preach another day of the week. You know, you could hold a sign all by yourself. And I hate to say it, a lot of our motives, they're not always pure. My motives aren't always pure. Preaching, singing, giving, and going. When my kids were young, I found out later in life my downfall in many areas, but one downfall was being prideful of my children. Oh, look, they look like a Christian. Oh, they sing like a Christian. Oh, we're a family that goes so together. My sons are at prayer meeting with me and this and that and all. Well, I realize that pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before fall. Now, did these men at the table, did they go out and preach all valiantly? Some of them to suffering and pain. True. When they fed the 5,000, were they happy about taking care of the physical needs of these 5,000? Yes, true. And it's all good. It's all well and good. But I'll tell you something about this lady, Mary, and why she's remembered for all of time. She's co-eternal with the gospel. Now, they say 300 pence is maybe 5-10 bucks then. Now I've heard that today would be, some say 50, some say 100, some say 6,000, some say 20,000. But you know what? It doesn't matter. That's not the moral of the story. The amount is not the moral, although it was very costly and it cost her. The thing is, she did something alone for Christ alone. What do you do alone for Christ alone? And nobody else knows about it. Something that costs you something without measuring it, without looking around to see if someone's around you. It's going to pick it up and maybe I'll get my picture on the board. Which, yeah, you know what? Sometimes we testify to be an encouragement. And we see it in the Bible. We see it in the book of Acts. Men came back for a prayer meeting. They testified of what God did. Okay, great. Wonderful. It's all good. My question tonight is, and the thing I want you to remember is, what do you do only for Christ? I challenge you tonight. Show me another person in the Bible, the whole New Testament, that did anything for Christ, just for Christ. gave him something. Pardon me? Okay, she did give two mites, but did she minister to Christ? What I'm saying is, it's a good one, Carol Lee, very good. What I'm saying here, she was seen by all, and God used that as a great testimony for sure. But what I'm saying is there anyone in the New Testament that is said to give something and do something only for Jesus Christ? I'm saying, no, there isn't. I'm saying there's one, and that one is co-eternal with the gospel. Wherever the gospel is preached, a memorial of this act will be had. If our teaching, oh, it changed, it was just for Jesus. Oh, I'd like to get in the pulpit and say, okay, Jesus, I know this person, and I want to be a blessing. I want to encourage. I want to be a joy to this. I want to walk out and feeling good and all that. What about getting in the pulpit and preaching for Jesus? Yeah. What about teaching for Christ? What about witnessing only for Christ? Giving only for Christ? We get so methodical in our giving. Oh, it's like another electric bill, water bill, car bill, mortgage payment, tithes. It's just kind of mangled up in all of that. And maybe just get the calculator out. I mean, that's good. We need to do that. We need to give. God says give. But what I'm saying is, would our giving change if we gave just, Jesus, I'm giving you this dollar. Let's say $10 this offering, this gift. It really wasn't even an offering. It was a gift to the Savior. And all I could do was receive it. And she didn't care who said or did what. How would our faith change if we from the heart perform the acts that we do only for Christ? That is what Mary teaches us. It's hard not to be prideful, for sure. My first point is only two short points. My first, you may say, really? Yeah, really. The first point was Mary did it from the heart, man. And she didn't consort with her brain. I remember my kids were young. They emptied their bank into the missions conference. Something we would say, well, you know, I don't know about that. I mean, you're going to give the whole thing? Yeah, give the whole thing. Wow. That'll be remembered more than my preaching. In God's book, I say. You think the man that Jesus raised from the dead, think maybe Martha, maybe Simon, I don't know, maybe the disciples, I don't know. Surely I'd give him something. Surely we can give them something out of the ordinary, not expected, not your duty. Something above, something beyond that no one knows about but you. Help us, Lord, to cultivate a heart for the Lord. You know what? Isn't it something to be a fanatic? What a great name. What an honorable, respectable name for a Christian to be called a fanatic for Christ's sake. We have a lot of fans. We have a lot of fans, preacher. And we like the Lord. We like being saved. But there's not many fanatics. Now, through all time, no one's had more fanatics than Jesus. Now, Muhammad's had his fanatics, but he's gone, so are they. Joseph Smith had his fanatics, they're gone. He's gone, so are they. Napoleon and Mussolini and Hitler, they all have had their fanatics. Joseph Smith had people charged to the death for him. Fanatics they were. They'll be remembered as such. I mean, we've got Buffalo Bill fanatics and New York Yankee fanatics. He ain't ashamed about that. But when it comes to Jesus Christ, we somehow get tight. We somehow our waists get tight. But when it comes to cheering on our baseball team, we loosen the laces. Some of us in the church house need to loosen the lace a little bit and get yourself loose a little bit and have some fanaticism for the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, wouldn't it be something if some of you guys at your workplace stood up in the cafeteria or with your lost guy in your truck and said, hey, man, before... I know what we do. We've all done it. We'll pray quietly. They'll serve the meal to our lost family. They'll serve in the neighborhood picnic. They'll serve at the lunch place. And we'll just... Right, man? And we'll pray quietly, privately. God forbid. Oh, wouldn't it be something if you said, excuse me, I just like to pray before we eat. Man, you must be a fanatic. Yeah. Yeah, I'm a fan. A big fan. I'm a fanatic. That's for sure. Yeah. Thank the Lord for fanatics. I'm going to tell you about a fanatic. Then we're going to read the story and go home. Think about what we can do for Christ's sake. I mean, preacher, I think I had more fanaticism as a young Christian. I think I had more boldness as a young Christian. Unafraid to stand up wherever I was. Pray, sing, start singing. Around some rough crowds. Say, well, what happened, Jay? Well, I need to hear the story about Mary. You know what I'm saying? I got to hear the story about this one that gave from her heart whose story is co-eternal with the gospel of Jesus Christ. A little offering. You think maybe one of the big guns. No, she's a big gun. She's a big gun. Yeah. Yeah. The greatest evangelist of the 18th century, said by most to be George Whitefield. Now, you know, I'm going to quote here. Some people say, why are preachers shout and holler and all that? I like what George Whitefield said. I learned a long time ago. And I love this quote. He said, the Christian world is in a dead sleep. Nothing but a loud voice can awaken them out of it. I sure appreciate that. He was the greatest evangelist of the 18th century. There's no doubt about it. Well, he had such a following. He didn't have room for the people. So he made this plan to go on to a place called Bennington Common to preach. It was an unheard of thing to preach in the open air. And people would literally say to Whitefield, how on this earth do you expect God to hear our prayers if there's not a roof over our head? How do you expect people to come if they don't have a comfortable pew to sit in? How are people going to sing if there's not a hymn book? How are they going to do without heat? How are they going to do without space? So he did something outrageous against all his contemporaries, all his peers. He went and preached in the common. Amongst the scoffers and the jeerers, being saved Christian people. You know what he did? He opened the alabaster box. Oh man. He opened the alabaster box and poured out the ointment. Oh man. And what happened? Oh, tremendous revival. Tremendous revival, unheard of since. Does Jesus deserve the alabaster box? That's a question. There are many imposters. People pour out the box for them. What is the box? It's different for everybody. You know what the thing is? Here's the thing. Does she not have the right to do with that which is hers? That's what I learned from this story. Does she not have the right to do that, whatever she wants, with that thing that belongs to her? Here's a good example. Brother Rowe, he's got a nice car out there, and it's got, I don't know, 100 verses of scripture on it. That's cool. I was supposed to preach, maybe not in this house. Some Christians would say, can't believe he messed up that car. You can't even wax it with that. You can't. People are going to think he's crazy.
They got their Brady shirt on.
That's true. And they walking around with a new car with the dealership's name on the license plate holder. I don't buy that, man. I don't buy it. First thing I do, scrape it off if I have to. My last car, he put a black sticky letters right on the back of my trunk. Man, as soon as I got home, I got my wife's hair dryer out, and I'm heating that rubber up. I'm going to walk around with Hazleton on my car. I'm going to advertise for Hazleton. I don't have a gospel track in my car or a gospel verse. Why don't you have a gospel verse in your car? That's my business. That's my car, and I will do with mine what I will, answerable to the Lord. Bill Rowe is answerable to the Lord. He's a fanatic. Now, Bill's not going to say, pastor of the church, doesn't have a son's car. That's not the spirit of Mary. That's the spirit of Martha. He wouldn't say that. He didn't say that. He wouldn't say that. But I'm saying as a real life example right now, don't you dare look at Brother Rowe's car and say, that's like a box. It's like an alabaster box. Now, because I don't have one in my car, doesn't mean I don't have my alabaster box. Who's he to judge me? And who am I to judge you? Can't Mary do... That was her sacrifice. That belonged to her. And the godliest men on the planet, outside of Christ, the godliest men on the planet are going, to what purpose is this waste? What a waste! Don't you know you can want to go with that? And you know what Jesus said? You have the poor with you always. I'm not here long. Now, I'm going to correct something right now if I can. I hear missionaries say, I didn't go to the field to feed them bread. I gave them, go to the field to give them the gospel. I don't think that's right. I'm just going to tell you my opinion on that based on the scriptures. I think Damon's right on, man. He spends 10 grand on a well. Several wells bring water to the village. That's the Bible way. You say, yeah, but that $10,000 could have bought 100,000 tracks. We could have bought a new van for the family at $10,000. We could have done that. What is that to thee? Now, you listen here. Listen to the Bible tonight about feeding the poor. You better feed the poor. That's God's plan. Listen to the Bible. For the poor shall never cease out of the land. Way back in Deuteronomy. Therefore I command thee, saying, thou shalt open thine hand wide unto thy brother, to thy poor, and to the needy in the land. And it's not talking about the gospel. It's talking about bread and water. No doubt. To the chief musician, the Psalm of David, blessed is he that considereth the poor. How? By giving to them. Giving them what? Food and water. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. He that despiseth his neighbor sinneth, but he that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he. The guy says in James, faith without works is dead. The guy comes to your house and he's hungry. Okay, well, what's your name? Let me say, Lord, I pray this guy finds some food. No. Got a problem to your door. Now, you got to be careful about all that. I understand that. And the spirit of the matter. He that despiseth his neighbor sinneth, but he that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he. Only they would that we should remember the poor. Galatians. The same which I also was forward to do. So, yes, the poor is important. But there's a time and place for everything. And I say, you pouring your alabaster box upon the head of Jesus has nothing to do with you giving or not giving to the poor. We are to give to the poor. But these self-righteous Pharisees, the godliest men around, they're mumbling amongst themselves. Look at the waste. Look at the waste. They didn't have an idea. Yeah, man. Pretty powerful. Very, very powerful. So my question is, what do you have? I don't have what you have. You don't have what I have. Let's look in the book of Mark 14. Let's look at Mark 14. It's in John, Matthew, and Mark. And we'll just pick Mark. We'll read it, and then we'll ask the Lord, what do you have us to do? I can make an announcement about it. Isn't that something? Say, well, I'll ask the Lord. Sometimes you don't have to. Should I give that guy a... Should I just stand up and pray right now? Lord, do you think I should stand up and pray for dinner right now? Mark 14:3. And being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment. Of spikenard, very precious. One of the other Gospels says very costly. And she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves. Now, I'm just going to really quick read Matthew 26, compare these texts. It says here, and when the disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? So some disciples said it, some didn't say it, but we know Judas for sure dead. Verse 4, back in Mark, and there were some that had indignation. Indignation means you think you're angry. Your indignation is anger. It's because someone's doing something stupid. Because someone's doing something that's wrong. That is what indignation is. There were some that had indignation. If you look at all three Gospels, they all did. Within themselves. And said, why was this waste of the ointment made? Hey, let me just tell you something real quick. Do you know, young men, as you try to live for Christ, the Pharisees are going to say, what a waste. What a loser. Don't you realize you could have this? Don't you realize you could have that? Don't you realize you could have all your dreams met if you just give a little less, do a little less, stop being so fanatical, stop dressing like a Christian, stop going to church, stop giving. This world will say, what purpose is it all? It's a waste of your life. It's not a waste of your life. It is the only life. Now, you go on and you look at the rich folk in this world, and I'm asking you, are these happy folks? Are they, do they have peace in their heart, peace in their soul? This world will tell you, just like these Pharisees at the time, what a waste. Look at the world. You can have so much. Don't believe it. Don't believe it. Verse 5. For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and been given to the poor. Oh, really? And they murmured against her. As you hear, preacher, listen, if you wear tight jeans, you could win the lost. If you just join the world's music, you can win the lost. If you just bend a little bit, you can win the lost. Listen, it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and be given to the poor. You can do something else with your money to help somebody else. How many people have changed their attire and won the world? I wonder. Or did the world win them? How many people won the world by changing their standards, Joel? Or did the world win them? Ask yourself. Take a look around. That's all I'm saying. I'm not judging anybody. Listen. And maybe I'm wrong. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence. Don't you realize you can do better with that money? Don't you realize that your time is worth more than that? Your money's worth more than that? Your talent? Oh, you're so gifted. You could make records instead of singing at church house. And be given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. You know that verse in Proverbs that says when you mingle with someone else's problems or stress or trouble, it's like grabbing a dog by the ears. That's what they did. They grabbed the wrong dog by the ears. No offense to the Lord. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is, Jesus said to them, let her alone. in front of all those people, all those godly men. Silence! Let her alone! They were offending the girl, he thought, but I don't think she was offended. Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? Maybe she was troubled. She has wrought a good work on me. Jesus straightened them out. Can you imagine the look on their faces when Jesus said, leave her alone, man. Why are you bothering this girl? She's serving me. Wow. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, ye may do them good. They're always going to be here, and I want you to do them good. This isn't a thing saying don't do good to the poor. I want you to, but there's a time and place for everything. A time to buy tracts, a time to dig a well. But me have not always. Preach, remember downtown doing the hot dog days down there? And it's 150 degrees sometimes. And me and preacher, two stoops downtown, cooking up hot dogs on a grill. Potatoes. Oh, man. Yeah, yeah. Sister Barbara was sweating all over our food. But that's all right. That's all right. Just fading. I'm trying to get him in and give him the gospel. Well, remember the movie night? Disaster. We rented a popcorn popper. We rented a popcorn popper. What's that movie night? We'll show. What movie we show?
Left Behind. The 60s.
You couldn't even hear in that room. It was so loud. Okay. Well, one day we had cleanup. We're going to clean the inner city. With rakes and shovels and five-year-old boys and girls. Yes, what it was, preacher. That empty lot. Filthy, filthy, empty lot, like hundreds and hundreds of the city. Me and preacher walked in this lot filled with beer cans and bottles. I'm not exaggerating. Beer cans, bottles, pornography, filth. Just a little square, maybe half, not even half size of this room. And we said, we're taking this place and we're going to remove Satan's flag and put up God's flag. And that began Rochester Baptist Church. That was a box. We have two stoops. We didn't know back then. What we know now, maybe it's hurting us. Yeah. 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 When I was newly saved, I know I'm rambling. When you're old, you ramble. So you'll be happy when I leave. Listen, I was in this construction meeting. I was a expediter, materials man. And we're having a celebration. We got this big, big job was completed successfully, on time, cheaper, under budget. So, man, there's like, I don't know, 100 people in the room, buyers and welders and electricians and plumbers. And I see the next guy sitting next to me. I says, hey, man, listen, I don't want to make you nervous, but I'm going to stand up and have a prayer over this meal. So I stood up. I said, hey, everybody. Hey, I'm just in my 20s, a stoop. I don't know anything except I'm saved. I said, hey, excuse me, everybody. Before we eat, I wonder if we can just have a quick prayer thanking God for the food. So I prayed. And you know what? Many people came to me afterwards and said, thank you for that. My mom used to always have us pray for a meal. That was awesome. Oh, we're asking. All God's asking is for an alabaster box. Okay, fine. Let's finish. Okay, we're done. For you have gone. Okay. For you have the poor, 7. You always, and whensoever you will, you may do them good. But me have not always. She hath done what she could with her own, may I just add. She is come aforehand to anoint my body for the bearing, which no one really understood that. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. And what that did, that squelched everyone's pride in the room. And they said, are we stupid? Are we selfish? Are we prideful? Let's stand together. We'll have Amy come. Pardon me? Sure.
Hey, I think this church is really a mirror of what it's about. Ken's birthday. When he died, a man in this church went home and looked in the mirror. And God said, what are you going to do with your good little family and perfect little Christian life if you end up like that? And God motivated that guy to start a journal. You know where he is? He doesn't come with us on the streets on Saturday, you know, well, 9 to 2 o'clock. He goes by himself on Saturday night. You know who he does it for? Jesus.
Right.
I'm driving down Ridge Road, and I'm not afraid to mention Gary and Bill Rose. Last night, on Monday night, came over to Redwood, 4 o'clock, there's Gary and Bill, all by themselves, not with the church. This lady here, every other Tuesday, Vicki Christian, taking her out to grocery. I'm taking Vicki today. And here's the thing, I don't want to just call them out. I could go around this room,
right,
Lauren, McCracken's around and say,
right,
people come to me and say, oh, yes, so good.
Right.
You guys are mirrors of this
message. Yeah. Praise the Lord. You know what? See, testify. If someone else wants to give a quick testimony, I'm not against it. My wife and I were on a bicycle ride in Rondacoit. Crazy. Craziest thing. We're on a bicycle ride in Rondacoit, and there's Bill and his three boys going door to door. No one knows that. At the box. Anybody else have a testimony before we sing All for Jesus? Yes, ma'am. At the thrift store.
Huh.
Hey, man. That is living. That's fantastic. I mean, when you're by yourself at the counter with the clerk, just ask him, hey, can I pray for you tonight, today, not right now. Is there something I could pray? And no one's going to know about it. It's not going to be here. It's not going to be here. Just you and the Lord. Maybe you'll come to this altar tonight. We don't always have invitations on Wednesday. It's early, 4:15. Let's take a few moments and just come and say, I'm going to bring a box. I'm going to bring a box, Lord. I used to bring a box. I was on a phrase. Stand together. 500. 500. Maybe it comes a, Lord. Look at, you know what God wants. You don't even have to ask Him. Lord, what do you want me to give? You already know it. That's what Mary teaches us, right? That's what He teaches. She teaches us. This little woman, $10 worth, co-eternal with the gospel. Wow.